Good morning. Can you guys hear me? All right. It's going to be a little raspy at first, but I am trusting God for a breakthrough this morning in my voice. You know what? When Greg called me a few weeks ago and asked me to share today, I was excited for the opportunity, and I was asking God, what's on your heart? What would you like me to teach? What would you like me to bring to your people? And immediately God said, I want you to share the journey that I've been taking you on. So this isn't a lot of theology today. There is a lot of theology in it, but this is more about the journey Joe Grout has been going on with my identity. I've called the sermon this morning Identity Rehab because it really has been a process of God rehabilitating my core identity. And, you know, Thursday night, I was driving home from work, and my wife and I had an important meeting to get to that evening. It had been something we had been planning to have for a while. And I was broadsided. A cargo van hit my car, spun me around, totaled my car. It's a pretty old car, so that's not saying much. But I was sitting there on the road, and I was thinking about, okay, I've just been hit. I have this important thing that we were supposed to do. And, you know, I called my wife, called the police, did all that. But as she was coming out, I realized, you know what? This more than ever tells me, I've got to do this. We've got to go. We've got to make it happen. If it hadn't happened, that would be one thing. This happened. We've got to go. We've got to press into it. I felt like it was an attack of the enemy. And yesterday afternoon, my voice started going straight downhill. And I couldn't say anything yesterday evening. I couldn't talk. And so this morning, I was texting Tom. I said, Tom, you may need to have a sermon in your back pocket, ready to go, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to speak here this morning. But then I was reminded of Thursday, of the car accident. And I was reminded that yesterday, what happened was just like that car accident. And so bear with me this morning. I'm excited to share, and I hope this will be a blessing for you guys. But it's really the journey of identity that God has taken me on. And I hope that it will bring a new revelation, a fresh view of his view of you this morning. So I grew up in a very devout home. I knew from an early age that Jesus loved me. I knew all about God. I knew we studied catechism as kids. We would go through and learn all the attributes of God. And I knew theology backwards and forwards. I knew who God was. I knew that he loved me. And probably I knew that he loved me because he loves all people. And I'm a person. So God loves me, right? But probably 3 or 4 years ago, I was in a meeting here at Northlands Church, and there was someone ministering on stage, and I don't remember the exact words that he was saying, but what happened to me at that moment is God showed me so clearly that he loves Joe Grout, that he loves who I am at my core, that it is special, that it is meaningful for him. And I literally sat there and cried for probably 20 minutes, which doesn't happen to me. But it was such a fresh revelation. And that's where I say God really started my identity rehab journey, was at that moment where he showed me that the love of God, it's not just because you're a person. It's actually specific to who you are at your very core. All right. Basic truth, I think, that we all have to get in our heads is understanding who God is. And at the very beginning of time, at the very beginning of the scriptures, we read that God was a creator. God spoke this world into existence. The galaxies, the planets, the plant life, the animal life, this amazing planet that we see every day, this amazing universe that we taste, that we smell, that we feel, this was created by God. He is an ultimate creative being. He is an ultimate creator. And you know what? God only creates masterpieces. God only creates masterpieces. That means every person in this room today is a masterpiece created by God. God only creates masterpieces. Let's think about what a masterpiece is. A masterpiece is a work of intrinsic beauty that required exceptional skill and creativity to produce. Masterpieces aren't just something. They're not pretty good. They are very good. And when God created, he said, it is very good. You know, and in that last brushstroke of his creation, when I think about that, it was when he created the earth, he said it is good. When he created the flowers, he said it is good. When he created the animals, he said it is good. But when he created man and woman in his image and stepped back, that was that last brushstroke. He said it is very good. That was the masterpiece. So it's a work of intrinsic beauty that required exceptional skill and creativity to produce. And then secondly, a masterpiece is one of a kind, and a masterpiece is unique. When Michelangelo was done with the Sistine Chapel roof, he didn't go out and say, okay, now for $30, I'll come to your church and paint your roof the same way, right? That was it. That masterpiece was done. And masterpieces are one of a kind. I'm going to go to the next slide here that says the truth of the master artist, that when they create masterpieces, they don't stop creating masterpieces. So even though that one masterpiece, that Sistine Chapel, was unique, even though a Rembrandt in and of itself is unique, that master artist continues to create masterpieces. He doesn't stop with that creation. He finishes that masterpiece, but then he moves on and he creates another masterpiece. And the thing I want to get into your spirits today is that God didn't stop then in creating masterpieces. He rested, but he did not stop creating. In Psalm 139, 13 to 14, it says, "For you created my inmost being." This is David writing thousands of years after Adam and Eve were created. David is writing, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." So David, here he is, he's saying not only that God did a good job with Adam and Eve, and hence, here I am, I'm a great creation. No, he said, "You created me in my inmost being." God rested, he stepped back, he said, "This masterpiece is finished." But God didn't stop creating masterpieces. Everyone here was created by the very hand of God. You are a masterpiece of God. And I think that, you know, maybe you think, well, you know, maybe David meant that in the sense that God started the process thousands of years ago. But I truly believe that God is not in the mass production business. He does not make 5 billion iPhones. He is in the masterpiece creation business. And we cannot wrap our minds around how it is even feasible to create millions of masterpieces. I don't know how many paintings Rembrandt had. But even when they find one today, it's worth millions of dollars. And it's not feasible to us that someone could create millions of masterpieces. We use mass production to create millions of something. And everything is the same. Everything has the same value. All iPhones sell for the same price. But God is actually a masterpiece, the artist of artists, the masterpiece creator of masterpiece creators. And when he creates a masterpiece, it is unique. It is one of a kind. It is valuable. And I want to say that the defining feature of his masterpiece in us is not the outside of us. It's our spirit identity. You know, you look at the creation. There's a lot of animals. There's a lot of creatures. There's a lot of things around us that are very unique, that are masterpieces in and of themselves. But there was something about God created in man's image. And that spirit identity, that thing that is uniquely you, that is uniquely David Todd, that is uniquely Pam Nelson, that is uniquely D'Ellen Van Zyl, that thing is so exciting for God because that thing is his masterpiece. That's the brushstrokes that he made. Not the thing that makes you Christian, not the thing that makes you a good person, not the thing that you do when you go to church on Sunday, but that thing that is uniquely you. That is what gets the heart of God going. That is where he sees his beauty, and he says that you are very good. All right, 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Peter 3:4, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. This spirit man of your inner being, this, I think when it says gentle and quiet, it doesn't mean that he only likes gentle and quiet people. It means when you lay aside everything, all the pretense, you lay aside everything that you try to be like someone else or try to strive for, you lay that aside. You say, God, this is who I am. This is me. And that's what God loves. He loves that spirit. The challenge in our world, though, is that we have an identity problem. And if you can put that slide up, the identity problem slide, you'll see that I've got two pictures here. On the left, I have this blob, and I call it the life-defined identity. And then on the right, I have the son, the God identity. And I think that hopefully everybody in your heart this morning, when I've said these words, something has resonated within you. And you could say, yeah, I can believe that. I can believe that there is a unique, special, masterpiece identity that is part of me, that's unique to me, and that is good, and that is pleasing, and that is wonderful. But I think all of us have to acknowledge that we have a real problem with our identity. Every one of us, some to a greater and some to a lesser extent, have been victims of prolonged, systematic redefinition of identity. From the day we were born into this world, we have been told that we need to be somebody else, or that we are somebody else, or that we don't measure up, or that who we are needs to be adjusted. And so if you go to the next slide, I've got kind of this chart that I did, this blueprint of a house. These are just a few of the things that shape us. But if you go through, I've got life experiences there in the middle. We have so many things that can happen. Expectations of others. So every one of us was raised with certain expectations. And that person was looking at us through their worldview. That person was looking at us through the way they were raised. But those expectations have formed us. To some of us, that has been who we've become. We have built our life based on the expectations of others. The next thing, sin. We are all part of sin. And Christ came and he dealt with the sin issue. But that has helped shape our identity. Pain. Pain stops us from pressing in, from being all that we can be. We experience pain, we pull back, we hide away. We say, I'm not going to show my true colors because I don't know if I'll be accepted. I've done that before, and it has been so painful. And then culture. There's some of us that we feel like we've never lived in a culture where we're free. Maybe it's the house we grew up in. Maybe it's the school we went to. Maybe it's the church we were part of. But we have been formed by a culture that has not allowed us to flourish in our identity. And then broken people. Every one of us is surrounded by broken people. And those broken people, one way or another, have helped misshape our identity. And then our failures and our successes. Moving on. A concept that, this is very funny today because of my voice, but I felt like God gave me an analogy that I think it will really help here, and that's the analogy of vocal training. while I drink another glass of water, you know, one of the things that vocal professionals will tell you is that you have to find your own unique voice. You can't try to always be sounding like someone else. And this doesn't mean that you squawk, right? There's people out there that try to sing and it comes out as a squawk. Like my voice today is a bit of a squawk. But there's a unique voice that is uniquely you. It doesn't sound like Dolly Parton. It doesn't sound like Frank Sinatra. It doesn't sound like Pavarotti. That voice is unique to you, and you have to find that voice. So if you want to be a master singer, you find your unique voice. We can turn on a song on the radio today And if you know that song, if you know that artist, even if you don't know the song, if you know the artist, you'll immediately be able to say, okay, that's that person singing. Because every single voice in this room is different. There's a different timbre, there's a different quality, and every voice is unique. And if you can hold a pitch, if you can make notes, you can be taught to sing in a beautiful way. The magic of beautiful singing happens when we sing in our unique voice, but it also happens when we learn proper singing techniques. Because I can have a great voice, but if I don't know how to use the voice, it's going to come out as a squawk. It's not going to sound good. It's not going to be pleasant for people around me. And so many times I think we hear the voices around us, we hear our own voice, and I'm speaking from the perspective of identity here. And we're hearing squawks. We're hearing the people around us squawk. We're hearing our own voice squawk. And we assume, okay, I don't have a beautiful voice. I'm an ugly person. I'm not a masterpiece. But the problem is you haven't unlocked the beauty of your true voice. And when we take the identity paradigm, when we talk about technique, I'm going to say that that is the scriptural God-given guidelines for community and morality. What is community? Community is how we interact with other people, right? We interact in loving ways. We interact in patient, kind ways. So God's principles for community and then God's principles for morality, for right and wrong. We have to have both the uniqueness and we have to have the proper technique. We have to understand that when God says love, when God says be kind, when God says this is what it looks like, he's not saying don't be unique, don't be yourself. He's saying I want to help you get the right techniques so that your voice, so that your masterpiece can be seen, so that your voice can be heard. But the problem that I think has happened is that the church has equated technique with uniformity, refusing to passionately embrace the individual differences of each masterpiece, leaving in its wake countless scores of frustrated people and unrealized potential. You can't have technique in and of itself is not good enough. Because if I've got technique and I've got Pavarotti's voice and I'm trying to sound like Bruno Mars, right? I'm going to be a frustrated individual. Right? Or if I'm Bruno Mars trying to sound like Pavarotti, I'm going to be a frustrated individual. But the church has said, look, here's God's principles. Here's God's techniques of living well, of letting your identity shine. And then they say, but you can't be like who you are. You have to be something else. And on the other spectrum, the world has embraced uniqueness at the expense of beauty and wholeness. The world has allowed people to fully explore their creative potential. But they've done that while leaving them stuck in brokenness and bondage, resulting in the identity crisis of this generation. The world has said, you squawk beautifully. You're a squawker. Go out and squawk louder. Whereas God's heart is, you are an amazing masterpiece. And I can see that masterpiece under all of your squawking. And I want to help you get rid of that. I want to teach you how to sing. I want to teach you how to be that masterpiece. But you've got to ingest these principles in a way that is unique for you, but that is true. With singing, you know, there's so many different vocal styles. There's so many different ways of singing. But the basic techniques of how you put your vocal cords together, of how you don't stress your voice, of how you sing the high notes, how you sing the low notes, those techniques are universal. They're not different from person to person. How you sound when you use those techniques is going to be different. But God's principles, God's way, God's techniques of living life, they are universal. But how we bring them out and how we live them in our life is going to be so unique and so wonderful that that is what will bring him glory. So I want to talk about the identity solution, how we step into our God identity, how we come out of that life-defined identity and walk into our God identity. First, we must perceive the masterpiece. God is a God restorer. He takes what is broken, he takes what is bent, and he restores it. The world says that broken thing, that bent thing, it's who you are. Embrace your bentness. Embrace your brokenness. That's who you are. Embrace it. Love it. And God says, no. You are a masterpiece. You are beautiful. And it's unique to you. It's not Mother Teresa. You is not Mother Teresa. You is not Greg Haswell. It's unique to who you are. But you've got to perceive that masterpiece. And I want to restore that. And he's shouting, restore. The you he designed, the brilliant you, the beautiful you, the real you is not lost to him. And it's not lost to you. It is not beyond your reach. If you're sitting there this morning and you feel, man, I don't know if I can ever perceive that masterpiece in me that God sees somewhere in there. It is not lost to him and it is not lost to you. Paul in Ephesians 3 said, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know, when we say that God dwells in us, the profoundness of that statement is so deep. It's so significant. God sees enough value. God sees enough beauty. God sees enough that he can be excited about, that he wants to come and he wants to dwell in us. He wants to dwell in you. He wants you. And the love of God that we sang about this morning, I love the worship this morning. I felt like it was right in tune with his heart. But the love of God, there is an awe in God's heart. You know, we speak about, God, I'm in awe of you. But there's an awe in God's heart when he looks at us. It's like, wow, that's my Tom Borsick masterpiece. I remember that. That's my Richard Van Zyl masterpiece. That's, you know, he sees that. And he's excited about it. Because that is his work. That is what he put together. And he wants to come and dwell in us. And Christ, the one thing that he cannot deal with in us is sin, right? And Christ dealt with that. Christ took care of it. It's done. It's finished. And so there is no hindrance now for God to come and dwell in us. But we need to go with him. And the journey that I think he's been taking me on, and that I think he wants to launch you guys in today, is the journey of going through that house of those strongholds that we looked at, the expectations of others, the pain, the life experiences. You know, I've heard of people who had beautiful lives and then a tragic accident happens. They lose someone they love and it totally wrecks their ability to press into who God is for, who they are for God and who God is for them. So be relentless in going after strongholds that have held your identity captive. So as you think about those things that have prevented you from being you, so you perceive it and then go in and demolish that. With God, we have the power to bring down every stronghold, is what Scripture says. And then in tune with what Greg shared last week, hear God's laugh over your identity strongholds. So those things that may seem insurmountable to you, that may seem insurmountable to you stepping into that masterpiece that you are, God is laughing over that. It's nothing for him. He's the creator. He can figure it out. He can work it out. And it doesn't matter where we are at in our walk. It doesn't matter how much brokenness we have. We've got to learn to say, okay, this is going to be painful. This is going to be unusual. I'm going to have to go somewhere where I've never gone before. But, you know, this is who I am. This is who God made me. And so I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to hold back for it. I'm going to press into it, and I'm going to go into these areas, and I'm going to, one by one, I'm going to say, with the power of God, we will demolish these strongholds. So step boldly into your new God identity. Stop trying to be or sound like someone else. Start trying to be and sound like you, like who you are, because that is your masterpiece. That is where you change the world. That is where you change the lives of those around you, when you step into your masterpiece. Don't buy into the lie that there is something wrong with the brush strokes that make you uniquely you. All right, and then step out of your comfort zone, despite for potential for mistakes and pains. Anytime we're stepping out and we're saying, okay, I've been this trapped person. I've been on the back seat. I haven't really been living out my potential. I haven't been really true to who I am. Anytime we start stepping into that, there's going to be opportunity for us to fall flat. There's going to be opportunity for us, for people to come alongside and say, you know what, I really hate this person you're becoming. I don't like it. It's not who I think you should be. But we have to press into that because that is the masterpiece. One example that I thought I should share here is my son. When he was, last year, we went to a birthday party, and it was the first time that he had ever ice skated. It was at an ice skating rink. And so I was super excited for him. He was very nervous. He didn't want to do it. But I said, Nolan, this is going to be so worth it for you. You're going to get out on the ice. You're going to experience what it's like to ice skate. Because I love ice skating. I think it's awesome. So he got out there, and it was hard for him. At one point, he was like, no, I'm going to give up on this. I don't like it. But he kept going, and he did awesome. And he started ice skating. And I was so excited. I'm like, all right, my son got it. He's learning what it feels like to ice skate. And we were just getting ready to leave, and he slipped on the ice. Fell down and he snapped his leg. Like literally the bone right here snapped. And we carried him off screaming and yelling off of that ice. He had stepped into something, he was experiencing something, and then he had this hugely painful experience. And you know, he's fine now. His leg healed up great. But unfortunately, we live in a broken world where things happen like that. And when we try to step into who we are, sometimes we're going to slip, we're going to fall, and sometimes we may have a lot of pain associated with that. But that's not where we need to stop. We got to press on. We got to keep going. Right. And then technique is important. So as you're being you, as you're exploring you, it's almost like, you know, I've never had professional vocal training, but the more I sing, the more I realize, okay, if I do this right, I can actually sing that note a lot clearer. I can sing it better. And so as you learn these techniques about, okay, you don't strain your voice to hit the high notes. You relax your voice. You sing to the front. Those things like that make it possible to do things that you couldn't do before. It's a balancing act the whole time between, okay, here's my unique voice, and oh, yeah, this is the right way to do it. Because you're starting to find this unique sound, and then you start doing it wrong, and it becomes a squawk. And as we're exploring our identity, as we're stepping into it, I think the same thing holds true. We've got to keep those God principles, morality and love and kindness, we've got to keep them at the forefront. Colossians 3:12-14 says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So go out, get with God, get with your spirit. Say, God, help me to perceive who I am, who this masterpiece is that you have created. And be bold, step into it, break down some things, some strongholds that have held you captive, and release that person that you are. And remember, okay, this is the right way to do it. Don't be breaking people while you're breaking the strongholds in your life. Continue to love, continue to do good, continue to be kind. But that technique is gonna look different for everybody. So Sheila Todd being kind is gonna look different than Peter Foster being kind. Because you being kind is going to be uniquely you. And that's where God gets the pleasure. He doesn't get the pleasure out of you being kind in a Mother Teresa kind of way. He gets the pleasure out of you loving, out of you serving, out of you being patient. Some of you are like, I could never be patient. I don't have what it takes to be patient. That's just not me. If I'm being me, I can't be patient. There actually is a way for you to be patient. There actually is a way for you to be kind. There actually is a way for you to be loving. And it's not going to look like me. It's not going to look like someone else. It's going to look like uniquely you, all right? I'd like to ask Ross if he could come up. And I just want to read over us today. a monologue that I wrote that really speaks to this core function of identity. But I'd like if you would just take this moment to focus your eyes on God, to just receive what he has for you. You could close your eyes, whatever you want to do here, but I think that it is vital that what we hear today is that God is in awe of who he has made you. He's got so much potential for you. You have no idea the potential God has for you. You have no idea what God wants to do for people around you. And we focus so much in the church about God has a plan for you. God has things he wants to give you to do. But it starts before that. It starts with understanding that God has an identity that he has put in you. And when you function out of that identity, it's not hard to do great things. That may not look great to somebody sitting next to you, but God's gonna be like, that is what I created you to do. And that is amazing to me. That is phenomenal to me. That's what is on my heart for you. And we talk about surrender and laying it down and getting God's calling and doing something hard and difficult for God. And yes, we do. It takes a lot of work to get the technique right, to get the singing right. But when we get it, it becomes natural for us. And it brings joy and it brings life. It's not about becoming somebody other than me. Dying to self is dying to the wrong life, misshapen identity. It's coming alive to the God identity, the masterpiece of who you and you and you and you and you and you are. My child, my beloved child, there is nothing hidden from my eyes. All things are laid bare before me. I know you better than you know you. I hear your deepest thoughts. I sense your strongest fears. I see what no one else will ever see. There is nothing about who you are that is hidden from me. There is not a hope or a prayer or a disappointment or a failure or a fear that I am unaware of. Yet I do not call you timid one. I do not call you broken. I do not call you fearful one. I do not call you failure. I do not call you sinner. There is a word I have chosen to describe you, and that word is son and daughter. Not a son and daughter, my son, my daughter. It is not the reality that you know and see which defines how I call you. No, it is how I call you that transforms your reality. I call things by their true name, and the names I have for you are all good. You are a chosen child. You are a thing of beauty. You are precious. You are my masterpiece. You are brave. You are strong. You are a champion. I know the world you live in is constantly, constantly trying to convince you that you don't have what it takes. But my child, you are not of the world. You have been born again. The DNA of your spirit has changed. You are a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. For a son or daughter of man, there are so many things beyond grasp, so many uncertainties to fear, so much insecurity. But for a son and a daughter of God, there is nothing too big. There is no circumstance too large, no part of you that is inadequate, no part of you that is not loved. Now that you are part of me, you have a true father. Now that you are my son and daughter, you have a provider. You see, now that you are my child, you have a way maker. Stand up, lift your head high. Celebrate my love for you. Run into the destiny and calling that I have prepared for you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So God, this morning, we thank you, God, for you have created each of us unique. You have created this masterpiece. You have created this work of beauty. And we can barely see sometimes any of that beauty that you see. We can barely comprehend sometimes what it is that you have put together and how it functions. What is the technique I need to use to be me, God? But I just pray in the name of Jesus that a supernatural release from heaven will be given to every person in this room today. Every person who listens to this, God, that they would receive from you revelation of the masterpiece that they are and the technique that you are revealing to them on this is how you go the next step. This is how you open up. God, we thank you. We love you this morning. You are an amazing God. You are an amazing creator. You are a masterpiece maker. We celebrate that this morning. We step into it this morning, God. And we say, do it, Lord. I want to see 300 lights that are in this room become bright, shining world changers in the way that you have created them to be, God, in the most natural, most effortless, most beautiful way, God, that we would hear master vocalists coming out of this congregation in a way that, Lord, we just say, this is awesome. This is the best choir ever. God, we say yes to who you are. We say yes to what you are doing. We're running to you, God, today. We're running to you. Jesus' name. Amen.